Is brought to you by EXO Auto Works, Colorado Springs' home of the $30 synthetic blend oil change. Includes up to 5 quarts and standard filter. Additional oil and specialty filters extra. Includes tire rotation and vehicle inspection. Also, $225 front or rear disc brakes. Includes new pads and rotors. Applies to most vehicles. Call now, 719-375-3232, or visit exoautoworks.com to make your appointment. Enharmonic Studios. Enharmonic Studios is a hybrid digital analog facility designed to be quality and affordable to anyone who wants to make history. They have all the tools to help you with your audio and production needs. From tracking demos to full CD productions, reamping, mixing, mastering, and more. Want your VHS to DVD or your old cassettes and records to CD? They do that too. Whatever your needs, they can help. Call today, 719-963-2020, or go to facebook.com/enharmonicstudios and let them know you found out about them through Man Tools for a special discount. Madrid Maintenance, besides being our partner for Give Mom a Hand, our community outreach program, Madrid Maintenance offers excellent handyman services in the Colorado Springs area, like sprinklers, light fixtures, electrical, plumbing, disposal and softener installs, drywall, doors, paint, flooring and tile, appliance installs, and more, starting at just $35 an hour. You can reach them by phone at 719-963-2020 or online at facebook.com/madridmaintenance. Tell them Mantool sent you for a special discount. Trevor's Beard is brought to you by The Beard Struggle. The Beard Struggle is my go-to for beard hygiene and styling products. They have items you won't find anywhere else, like their heated beard comb and Viking Sea Mineral Mud Mask. I also use their beard wash and conditioner on a regular basis to keep my beard clean, shiny, and manageable. And my wife loves the Viking Storm scent. So you should head over to thebeardstruggle.com and use the code TLANE15, that's TLANE15, for 15% off your order.
Shit in Spanish. This is America. We have a national language. Check your fucking self, because America does not have a national language.
Funny how it's Father's Day, we just talk about moms. We just get drawn into it. We just can't.
To me, the idea of taking a child through a sex change to begin with is just nuts.
I think, and I'm going to go out and figure out, I'm going to go out here on a limb and speak for all the ladies.
Walk down the hill and I'll go ahead first.
There you go.
Take me out.
Stay solid.
Man Tools.
Oh, there we go. Helps if I unmute myself. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Man Tools. As you can see, Eric Madrid is not here, but filling in is this awesome cardboard cutout. To be honest, I'm not sure what's going on with Eric. I haven't heard from him, which is a little concerning, but I'm sure we will sort it out and touch base with him. In the meantime, we have a great show for you this evening. We've got a great guest, Rich, hopefully I'm pronouncing this right, Merrick, is the host of the Dreadnought 928 podcast. And since Eric's not here and we don't have to fill time, I'm going to go ahead and bring in the guest. We'll unmute him and put up the screen where you can see his face and that whole bit.
Hey.
There he is.
Hey, how's it going, man, Trevor? What's good? What's going on, man?
Not much. Hopefully I pronounced your last name correctly.
Yeah, Merrick Merck, it's all about the same. We don't really get offended one way or the other.
Okay. It's a...
I like the cardboard cutout. I heard you were going to give that to Eric last time he was showing up late.
Yeah,
watched a couple of episodes back. I think it's a good representation of him.
You can't see it on your screen, but for the viewers, there's a there's just a nice one-dimensional image of him sitting next to me. So
going back and forth to the feed, I'm probably ruining my latency by going back and forth to your feed off the website. So yeah, that's a pretty decent cutout. I mean, it looks like the intro cutout.
Yeah,
I wish I had a good-looking cutout I could use him.
Yeah, I need one to fill in for me.
Right. Exactly. We all could use a real good cutout. It kind of reminds me of your version of Joe Biden there. You got here, just Joe Biden just hanging out right there next to you. Just got to get a little wobble to the head, you know?
A little bit.
Yeah. He'll always agree with you.
He's, I'm not sure who's more lively.
Yeah, right. Yikes.
Well, thanks for coming on and hanging out with us.
I appreciate it.
One of the things you put in your we do this little guest intake form thing so that we can keep – it's mainly so that we can keep, like, time zones and stuff like that straight. But
sure.
On the one you filled out, you put that you work at the DMV.
Yeah. I thought that would get you. It's like a hook, you know? It's
yeah.
Because everybody's got something bad to say about the MVD or some kind of thing, but yes.
Yeah. Like, well, I was just curious if you had any kind of weird or unusual stories from working in that job. Anything strange happen?
Well, I think that let me just take it up to a different level. I worked at we call it the Motor Vehicle Division here in Arizona, and so in Arizona in 1996, they started what is a program called authorized third parties for the motor vehicle division. And so these are private companies. And so now you have this state, yes, and there's plenty. And I worked there for a nice little stint. And then I moved into the third party realm, which is even funnier because the people understand that the state, you know, is going to probably say no to some of the things. And people are afraid to go to the state because they don't want to be caught, you know, doing something illegal. So they come and fish their work at the third parties. And that's really where the action is, if you will. There's people that are constantly coming in or calling right now with this whole, like you guys have said on the show, this whole mask thing, this pandemic thing that we're going through right now we're doing everything by appointment. So right now we get phone calls after phone call after phone call, and the motor vehicle division and all the third parties in the state are all booked out for like months and months because it can only hold so many people at one time in this little tiny area, you know. And for a while we were zapping people in the head, making sure they didn't have a fever. I did get one guy. It was an old guy who had a fever. But other than that, I took down all those signs, man. I was like, you know, this is, you know, on the 15th, because you remember on September 15th, we're supposed to have this liberation day. So I took them all down.
Everyone was supposed to just suddenly stop wearing masks everywhere.
Yes.
And stop putting up with all this stuff. Yeah.
Yes. And so I put my foot down, being the manager of the office. I said, I'm going to take those signs down. I'm going to let people come in. And so, but we're still doing appointments because they do have a few employees that they're a little hesitant about the people. And so the less people in the crowded area, because I mean, we can pack out our office. This is a little tiny office, you know? And so we don't want that many people just coughing on each other, which, you know, there's some would say one way or the other, hey, it's no big deal, or it is. I mean, I'll take whatever comes in the door, but right. I mean, we got people and they'll come in and they call and they have the stories, you know. The ones that really get me are the ones that their loved one has just died. You know, they'll be like, I need to get this car in my name before my brother does, you know, my sister. And you're just like, okay, well, that's fine. You know, that's why we're here. Sure. What do you got? And they'll be like, well, you know, they passed away and I know I'm supposed to get it. And da, 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 da. I don't have a title and I want to do a non-probate, which is the way you would go about that if it wasn't a will involved or anything like that. And we'll ask them, so when did they die? Oh, last night. It's like, man, the body's not even cold. And you're just like, you're ready to take over the person's, you know, estate. And these people are just crazy. I've had people come in and tell me that, you know, they weren't able to find any of their documents because they, you know, and their constant excuse is, we had a fire. We had a fire. And it's just like, well, you got to have something to prove who you are. I mean, you can't just come in and say, that Lamborghini is mine. And here's the VIN, you know. We get right, people that want to run VINs, you know, people get cut off. I've got a fire engine going by. I got people that get cut off on the highway and they want, you know, me to tell them who that person is, you know, and it's just there. You would be surprised of how many people would just want to know information about other people. You know, you got the perv who, you know, his neighbor, and he's trying to figure out who she is, the new lady in the apartment complex, and just different things like that. And you're just like, you know, I can't give you that information. Yeah. And then you get, you know, I mean, it can be pretty nonstop. You get real callous after a while. You're just like, you know, no, you know, you just have to realize that there's going to be people out there that really want to take advantage and get as much information as they can. They get mad at you. I have a phone call I have on my phone, and this guy, his girlfriend calls, and she wants to know how much their registration is going to be. Oh no, excuse me. No, that's the normal call. What she wanted to know is, where is her registration? Because right now we're doing everything by mail, and so everything's coming in the mail. And so I'm like, well, I don't what is it? And they don't even kind of know. It's probably not even their car, if you can, you know.
Right.
And so it's not in their name. It's probably in his mom's name or her uncle's name, somebody else's name. And they want to know exactly, you know. And so he winds up calling me back, and he just keeps calling me and calling me because I can't tell her anything.
Right.
Because I really can't take that information over the phone. We're kind of bound by certain acts and stuff, Privacy Act. And I can't just, you know, though I would love to sometimes, just, you know, who was that was a complete ass, you know, and then look them up and be like, hey, what's going on? But I can't do that. So, you know, he's calling me and cussing me out. Will not stop calling. I'm hanging up and calling him. He's saying that I, you know, that he's going to come and kick my butt and just nonsense. And so, you know, we get that all the time. The owner of the business, who's not me, I just manage it for him. He gets a little feisty every once in a while. I've seen him get in a pushing match in the little lobby with somebody up in his face. And it's just, it can be real hairy. The problem is that we have to say no, Trevor. You know, there are just some things we can't do. And so when you say no to human beings, especially adult human beings, this one thing, I have a 7-year-old daughter. And if you watch our show, she partakes in the show, Dreadnought 928. And she's with me and my wife. She has her own podcast we do every once in a while called Sophie's World also. And she's 7-year-old, you know. And, you know, you can tell a 7-year-old no and not have to give an excuse. But when it's a, you know, 44 to, you know, 104, they want to know why. They want to know how come you can't make a certain, you know, way for them. And I've come to develop my own sarcastic way about it. And I just tell them, look, there's no form for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can't do that. You know, there's no form for that. You know, you can see a vehicle on the road and really want to buy it, but they don't have a title, and you're coming in and telling me that you want to put it in your name, and you know, you don't have the title. I can't help you with that. It's just, you know, so it gets really crazy. But you know, we have a great time doing it.
Yeah. I used to work in a pawn shop. And that's another industry where there's a lot of
stories.
Well, there's a lot of stories, but there's a lot of telling people no and a lot of laws about what you can and can't do.
Absolutely.
Especially when people want to know something about someone else's loan.
know? Yeah.
Like, what did you know? I don't know how many times we had people come in and say, you know, I know this guy stole this stuff from me. Did he pawn it here? And it's like, can't tell you anything about what someone else has brought in. That's just, it's illegal.
Right.
Now, the cops can come in. If you report this to the police, they can come in and try to find out what's been pawned. But I can't tell you anything. And of course, no one, like you said, no one wants to hear that. No.
No. You would be surprised how many terrible Google reviews I have from people that say, you know, oh, that dude's a jerk and da 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 da. It's just like, you know, I've gotten sick of responding. It's just like, you know, hey, I had to say no to you. You got mad. And most of the time I'll give them, you know, practical advice to help them because, you know, that's why we're there. I'm not a complete jerk, you know. So I'm like, you know, this is what you need to do. You know, a lot of people will have titles with errors on them and that darn verbiage on the bottom that says, you know, void if altered or erased.
Right. Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're using two different color inks, changing dates, you know, and just like, you know, we get certified by the state to be document examiners. I mean, this is not a light issue. I mean, the Office of Inspector General and all, you know, the different fraudulent document agencies are all, you know, grilling us and we have to take these intense tests to qualify. And so we're looking at something and I'm just like, you know, that just doesn't fly. And they're like, what the, you're a jerk and blah, you know, it's like, you know, it's not going to work. If you, and then, you know, you give them some practical advice, you try it down the road, you know, in Arizona, everything needs to be notarized. And so the old West, who would have thunk it? You know, I mean, we can all carry guns, you know, it seems pretty free, but when it comes to titles, boy, they're like, they got you by the stinking short and curly. So they don't want to let, you know, and so people will come in and they'll need two signatures and they got one. And so, and one signature's notarized and then they'll come back with all of a sudden another signature on there. You're just like, no, dude. Why don't you take that to the state, try it over there, or take it down the street to the other third party? Maybe they'll take it, you know, and they still want to yell at you and tell you that you're a complete jerk and you don't know what you're talking about. And da, da, da. And so, hey, you take it, you know, if you don't get thick skin doing this job, you ain't going to make it. You know, so I could imagine the pawn shop. I could just imagine.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, and the other big thing too is, people don't like to be told that their stuff that they think should be really expensive isn't worth that much. You know,
yes.
Like, yeah, you may have paid $1,000 for this toolkit, but now that it's used, I can't sell it for $1,000, you know?
Right. Yeah. I'm going to give you 35 bucks.
Yeah. I might be able to sell it for 500, which means I can give you like two. And then, you know, they lose their mind. That's
yeah,
not
exactly.
Fair.
Well, yeah. I like to fish around at the pawn shops here locally for the one I go to. I don't even know if I should say it, but anyway, PV Pawn, and they get a lot of the recycled handguns from the police department. So they got a ton of Glock 40s over there. And I'm just like, this is amazing, you know, and they have an inn somehow where they get them. And so you go in there and you hear people and they're on the phone just like I am. I feel their pain, you know, no, I can't tell you. No. Yes, I have that. And, you know, they want, people are just trying to, you know, shuck and jive and get them to, you know, give them a deal or give them more than they need. And, or they've sold something and the guy's got a ticket that's like a million years old. It's like, yeah, I sold that base like 7 years ago.
Right.
So it's like, you know, what do you do? You know, it's customer service. You know, everybody thinks they're right because they're the customer.
Yeah.
But little do they know there's laws called, and so I've gotten real proficient at citing Arizona revised statute or policies, and I try to deflect it. It's kind of my defense mechanism. I say, you know, the state of Arizona, the policies in the motor vehicle division are based on statute, which is the law of Arizona. So, I mean, I would love to do it, but I just can't, you know.
Right,
so, you know, you can kind of skirt around it and make it look like you're not a complete jerk, but you know, in the end, they're going to think you that anyway. So
yeah.
Whatever. Meh. Meh.
Well, tell us about your podcast. I was curious where particularly where the name came from.
Okay.
Cause it's unusual.
Right. Well, the name came from a band that I'm in. So I don't just do the podcast. The name Dreadnought came from a band, a reggae band. And so I think I think it was like 2003, 2004. There was a reggae band and they lost their singer. And so I said, hey, you know, I can help you out if you want. And so I became the singer of Dreadnought. And so Dreadnought, it's a church affiliated band. The church that I go to, it's a really evangelistic. And so they do a lot of things. They have like what we would call an outreach, which is a place where we invite people to come. It's family friendly. And like all Christian churches, we promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died and rose again, and you can give your life to him, you know? And so we do that, and we kind of try to make it as entertaining as possible. We use music, and they do acting and different plays, and they give out refreshments. And so this church that I'm involved in is a very large church. And so there's many different churches around. So we would tour around, and it was a very popular band. And so I like the name. I was able to make some logos for it, early on, and t-shirts and stuff like that. So when I started the podcast, I thought, well, whatever, you know, I got an email already. I could just put the 928 on there with for the channel, and bam, Dreadnought 928 was born. So it's something that I could hold on to and keep and remember that. And so I kind of try to keep the reggae feel on that, you know, and it's got the whole, you know, don't dread, don't worry.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to work out, you know, and then 928 is our area code. Just like any old, you know, wannabe gangster, I threw it on there, you know, just for giggles, you know? And so, yeah, it's been fun. I've gone through a ton of co-hosts. To be honest, I've gone through a lot of co-hosts at Dreadnought 928. I started out with a guy named Larry, and he went crazy on me in the middle of the show, which okay. was interesting.
Yeah.
And he got all offended. And
is that episode still up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's on there. Everything is on Podbean. So we put it on Podbean. It's probably labeled Larry went crazy. And so you can go on Podbean, find Dreadnought 928, or maybe even on Apple podcast, you could find that episode. And after that, I got another gentleman to come in. His name was Matt, and he was cool. I liked Matt. Matt is a good friend of mine still. He got a job. So it's like, okay, well, you got a job. So that, you know, I was doing this a podcast before I opened the office in at AZ Tags. So I would just, you know, do it there in the office, plug everything in, had the mics there, bam, do it. And then he got a job, so he couldn't help me out anymore. And then a kid named Aaron came through, and he got a job. It's like, I mean, I'm getting these guys jobs. I don't even know, you know, so it's like, I guess this is a good thing. And then, so my dad did it for a while. And my dad and I have a really good relationship. His name is Jim, and we call him the old man. And so it was Rich and the old man, Dreadnought 928. He was real happy. He was with me for a very, very long time. And then I took a break to do some music. And I actually have posted all. I have two YouTube channels. One's TV 180, and I put that music on TV 180. It's more aligned, more narrow towards the Christian aspect, and the just music and testimonies and stuff like that on that channel. And so I took some time to do that, and he got booty at me. I mean, he wouldn't say he did, but he got booty because I took a break and he wasn't ready. So now he's got his own podcast on Podbean. it's the old man with Dina, Joe, and Eric. And so now I'm back doing my podcast, which I intended on doing, but he just wasn't patient. And so now I do it with my wife, my wonderful, beautiful wife, Brianna, and our 7-year-old daughter, Sophia. And we do it at home. It's a little bit easier. You know, I was getting up early in the morning and just heading to the office and doing it every day. Now I do it 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I do it with them. And surprisingly enough, I really enjoy talking with my wife about different current events, hearing what she has to say, because she is hilarious. She says some things that is just like, wow, you're saying this on the internet, you know, do you really want to say that, you know, but she has an opinion. She wants to share it. And then Sophie is just, she's just a funny little 7-year-old who loves us, and we love her. And she has things to say too. She's a chip off her own mom, off her mom's block. And it's fun. We have a good time doing it. And, you know, I mean, and it's a relaxed schedule. So that's just the long way around my knee to my elbow, Trevor. That's the whole deal.
Yeah. I was listening to your most recent episode, where your daughter was co-hosting.
Yeah, we were in the office at that point.
Yeah, right. But it was funny. I love when adults try to explain to kids what politics are, because I've had to do here as well. Because every once in a while, my kids will if Eric can't come, they might sub in, depending on, as long as the subject matter isn't going to get too heavy that day, you know, I'll let them.
Right. yes.
And one time they did, and we were talking about politics, and that was what's a politics? It's like,
well, we'll start talking about some of this. Just this nonsense gender, you know, fluidness. And I mean, my 7-year-old's there and we're talking about this stuff and we're just like, this is the most retardous thing. You know, you got boys that want to be girls and girls it's this mishmash of just confusion and nonsense. And they're letting little tiny babies decide early on what they want to be because they decided to play with a dolly, you know. It's like, you know, but did you look how he's playing with that dolly? He made it into a gun,
you know?
And he's shooting things. Yeah, it's a dolly, but it's a gun. Give me a break, you know. So, and then they're like, well, then he needs to wear dresses, and or you know, they put on the little high heels or whatever. I mean, kids are kids, and so we'll talk about some of these intense issues. We were talking early on about the Black Lives Matter, the protests that were going to the riots, really,
right,
and how they were stopping people on the highway, and they were, you know, stopping people and dragging them out of their car. And my daughter's just like, what's going on? She's all worried. And she's like, well, that's, you know, we're trying to explain to her, it's okay. This is what's going on. You know, there was events that happened and police were involved and things are getting blown out of proportion. And she's like, but you're fine, Dad, you're black and we're white. I'm like, but baby, I'm not black. She thinks I'm black for some reason. My dad's wife is black. And so she thinks that Yvonne is my mom.
Right.
So
yeah.
She thinks that I'm black, which I'm Mexican and I get dark in the sun. And so she's like, well, you're black and we're white and we could get in trouble. So it's a funny joke now that she's growing up, but we don't want to hide these realities.
Right. Yeah.
Her. And, you know, because we want her to realize that we have the best for her. We want her to understand. We will try to take the time, just like I know you do, to try to take the time to explain these intensely difficult issues to our children, because, you know, I mean, confusion is what they're using to brainwash. And then they're just, you know, people are standing in front of our kids in the schools and declaring these things as facts. And they're not facts at all. There's some, you know, whitewashed or just completely like a twisted narrative, which I have a huge problem with that whole verbiage that has become this huge trend. Because a narrative is nothing more than a story. I mean, we have places in our communities where we house huge amounts of narratives. They're called libraries. And those stories are not necessarily all true. You know, it's so what narratives have outweighed facts. And so I appreciate the opportunity to tell my daughter certain things that are true and give her my view, because I don't want her to just be indoctrinated by some person that I'm telling her she needs to respect. Teachers, right, yeah, and Sunday school teachers and things like this, and just letting them have their way with her opinion and then indoctrinating her. I want her to know, no, this is what my parents, and they have explained it to me. So though it's hard, it becomes difficult at times, but it is possible.
Yeah. The, the thing with the gender fluidity, especially when it comes to kids, and we've talked about it a bit on this show a while back. We covered a story where this, luckily this man ended up winning the court case, but he was involved in a custody battle with his ex-wife. She's a doctor, and she was, it became very clear why she wanted to do this. She suddenly decided that their son was a girl and was putting him on posters for her medical practice.
Wow.
Dressed as a girl,
to
promote that they were inclusive or whatever. And it was very clear that, you know, not that a child would be in a position to make a choice like that to begin with, but I think most of the time they're not making that choice. It's parents that want some kind of attention. or in the case of this woman, to increase her business with her medical practice.
Absolutely.
So it's totally exploitive.
It's a great marketing ploy for her, you know, and for her to elevate herself in the community as this woke, amazing person, you know. Yep. It's just like, no, you should just, you know, if you get those type of, you know, if you get people that believe that way, that's great. Oh, well, you know, I mean, whatever. I mean, I get in the line of work that I do, there's people that will come in and want to change their genders. And yeah. It's just like, I don't berate them and I don't belittle them. And some of them, they'll come in and I've had a gentleman come in, and I'll use the term loosely, obviously, and they want to take their driver's license photos and they're all dolled up as a chick, but they're not going to change that M to an F without some court getting involved and changing that birth certificate. So, I mean, and you know, it's explainable in a, you know, moderate way where you don't have to be a complete jerk about it, but you know, it's not something I truly believe in. But you know, they're there for a service and I can go through, and I've had, two girls that are married, two guys that are married, and one wants to change their name to the other. We need to realize that I'm a firm believer, really, Trevor, of what you do in your bedroom, that's your business. And I really don't want to know. I don't need to know. I don't care to know. And trying to force me into making it so that I approve, you don't need my approval. You know, that's between you and God, and I don't care.
I think you're hitting the nail on the head. Is the they want to force some kind of approval. That's the agenda.
It is.
It hasn't panned out that way yet, but that's what they're pushing for. I mean, a perfect example that I, a lot of times when I talk about this, I get into is, I don't know if you're familiar with Jordan Peterson up in Canada.
No, not completely. No,
he's a professor, or was a professor. He's not anymore. And part of the reason why he's not is Canada passed a law that said that any public universities, which is most of their universities, you had to refer to students. You were required by law, and there were like criminal penalties. You could pay fines or go to jail if you did not accommodate your students' preferred genders.
Oh, their pronouns, right?
Yes.
Them, these, them, him, yep. You.
And he said, no, no, no. This is an infringement on a professor's, right to free speech.
Sure.
And he even pointed out most of the time it's probably going to be a mistake. You know, you don't want your students to feel uncomfortable. So it's not like you're going to on purpose misgender people, but the idea that it could be a crime, he said, this is ridiculous. And so now he's of course been labeled an alt-right racist bigot, all those words. I think that's where you run into huge problems is when these people, any people, want to use the power of the state to force their point of view on everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pat, every time you go ahead.
Typically, it's a really small amount of folks. I mean, the percentages are tiny.
Yeah.
I mean, there really isn't the communities that they're trying to force us to identify and to take into consideration in ways where they're benefited are very small amounts. I mean, just because the majority of the people with cameras and platforms in Hollywood and or on the news want to prop up these people as, you know, they make them sound like we're surrounded. And in actuality, it's a very small amount of folks. And it's just like, you know, I really don't need my approval. You go on with your life, do what you need to do. And I will do what I need to do. I just, you know, just like me, I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing in my bedroom, and I don't really need you to do what I tell me what I'm doing. And if there was some kind of commonality, I think it would settle down, but there really is a need for them to be justified by me for some reason, or to be legitimized by my opinion. They want to force me and others to legitimize them. And it's just like, that's where the battle lies, and it'd be very different. That gentleman in Canada, I mean, what a brave man to be, because we all know that the higher learning is a complete a swamp of indoctrination. I mean, good, solid kids from solid families are going into schools and higher learning and coming out these woke millennials that have potentially good careers. I don't know if you heard about these, they were immigrants, and in one of the first riots that they were having, they come in and they got arrested, and they were actually lawyers. They had gone to good law schools and gotten degrees, gotten great jobs, and they were indoctrinated that these stances needed to be fought for, and then now they've got records and they can't do their jobs that they went to school for. So it's like, don't ruin your life.
Yeah.
I don't understand where that's coming from, but we are blindly just shipping our children and our young adults, which are very formable, into the hands of people who are willing to manipulate them and to feed them things that aren't actually true so they can have a quote unquote power. It's a tragedy.
It is.
It really is.
It is. And yeah. And in the case of this professor, Dr. Peterson, the mischaracterization of him is ridiculous. First off, on most issues, like most professors, he's left leaning, but now because he took that stance, he's labeled as this alt-right, he's like, I'm not even right. How can I be alt-right?
And you never know. It could be his glasses are bad. He can't tell. You couldn't tell anymore a guy from a girl. You say, okay, son, what do you have to say? Oh, I'm not a boy. I say, oh, geez, I want your job. It's like, oh, gosh, you know, whatever happened to tenure? Whatever happened to, you know, it's like, give me a break. I mean, it's a little sensitive out there anymore. And it has gotten more and more sensitive. I know you guys talk and have the same view as I do, you and Eric, about the mask thing. And it's just like, I listened to the brothers from overseas, and it made me laugh. I was like, man, I'm glad I wasn't on that show. Because unfortunately, I mean, I can understand their view and I can respect a differing view than myself, but it is just, they didn't understand the importance of people being free.
Right.
Because they don't live in that atmosphere. And it's so hard for us to delineate or to specifically express that freedom we have when they do that whole liberal laugh. I wish you would just put the mask on. You're just so silly. No, you're silly. You don't understand freedom. You live in a socialist system and you don't have freedom, and you'll never understand it until you're partaking in it. And it's just, it can be real irritating because our own brothers and sisters, citizenry that we live with and we are commercing with and doing things with are buying into that whole, you know, little by little giving away our freedoms. And that whole mandate mask thing and just the privatized mandates of that is just ridiculous. And we need to stand up against it. It's retarded.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Well, I definitely agree that it's ridiculous. The thing that I struggle with is how do you stand up against it? Because the poor Walmart greeter that's telling you, hey, you need to put a mask on when you come in here.
Right.
They're not the man.
Oh, you know? No. Yeah. You know what I mean? I totally agree with
so
that.
To hassle them and tell them,
I just put it
you
on.
Know,
and once I'm by them, I take it off. I mean, really, I mean, it's like, hey, and anymore in Prescott and Prescott Valley, I live in the Northern Arizona area, and we have been rejoicing that Walmart's taken a stance, at least in our area. And, you know, we live in an area, it's Quad Cities. We have Chino Valley, Prescott Valley, Dewey, and Prescott. And we have three Walmarts, super Walmarts, in about 100,000 people, which is a lot of darn Walmarts, I'll tell you that much right now. And they've relaxed a lot. They don't have a person out front anymore. I mean, you don't need to do it. It's really been relaxed a lot. But when it was at the heightened, you had the ways you could go. You could only go down that way and up this way. And, you know, and we kind of grasped that in our family that, you know, this poor soul, I mean, you know, they're counting people so to make sure that the occupancy, they got enough room and da 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 da. And it's just like, just put the mask on to go inside the door. Take it off if you want. Leave it on if you want. It's not that big of a deal, because you're right. You know, that poor soul is not, he's not Fauci. He's not working at the CDC. He doesn't represent anyone. He just wants his stinking paycheck, which is probably doing way too much to get so little anyway. So, you know, I mean, we have to have a little bit of mercy on ourselves.
Well, and that's why our tactic was to capitalize on it. And we started selling masks in our merch shop that say, look at me, I'm virtue signaling. So
nice. I thought the whole, I can't breathe was a good motto to put one on there.
That's
because my wife was, she could not, she did not do well with the masks. I mean, she bought and ordered masks, special ones, different materials. We tried the medical ones. We tried, you know, and she just, her skin on her face just didn't handle it well. And so Costco was like the worst that we had. I mean, they were really bad. But, you know, they went out of their way and they supplied masks, which I kind of respected that, because, you know, if you're going to mandate it, you know, give it out, you know. And so they shelled out some money in masks. Though they were, you know, disposable, but they wanted it done. So they provided the mask, which I thought that was pretty cool. And it was probably more an appropriate way to do it. But it was just like, now it's getting a lot looser. And I'm really anticipating the day where it's going to be a back to normal, quote unquote, kind of, sort of. You know what I mean?
Well, I suspect November 4th and at worst, January 20th. And those,
it's going to get worse.
Yeah, those dates aren't on accident. I think if Biden wins, the day after the election, everything will loosen up, because it's all Democrats that are pushing this.
Sure.
And then if he doesn't win, January 20th is the actual end of Trump's first term. So if he's still, obviously, I think the election is going to be contested somehow, but if he wins and is inaugurated, or I don't even know if they do another inauguration, but anyways, on January 20th, if they're stuck with him, they're going to give up on this COVID stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think we're going to hear a lot about votes and bins and votes that are, you know, they didn't get to count these, you know, 5 million votes and they need to matter and da, 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 da. I mean, it's like, it's already starting. I mean, faithful enough, just like every year, as I can remember, this is the year that your vote really counts, you know?
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And it's true to some certain extent. But you know, and for a while I used to think that, you know, it didn't really matter who was in the White House. It really didn't affect me any more than anybody else. Because, you know, like the majority of Americans, I get a refund. You know, I don't really pay enough in, but they still give me money back. You know, and I, you know, but as I'm getting older and a little bit more successful, I'm starting to see that, you know, it does matter who's in office. And I do need to pay attention to a few of these things, at least, and to voice my opinion. Because there are others out there that don't voice their opinion or haven't yet, and they are like-minded, or at least maybe it will inspire them to speak up. Because the whole idea of a silent majority is absolutely ridiculous in a free nation where we should be standing firm on what we believe and how we express that, because there's no one there should be there stopping you. So we should all be voicing what we think our opinions are, and then trying to see those go through and finding other like-minded souls to make those things work, because that's how the systems go. But I think the TV has had a lot to do with it. People just want to stay home. They don't want to get involved. I think that's what they were hoping with this whole quarantine thing, is that, you know, they would just be able to swoop in and take over everything and dictate to us, because we would feel safer. But there's a lot of us out there that just don't feel safe, especially in Arizona where we all pack heat.
Yeah.
We're ready.
Well, and the flip to that, you know, participating in the system is then when you don't get your way, don't act like a bunch of children.
Absolutely.
You know,
yes.
Which I think is, you know, something that we see a lot. You know, these rioters.
You know, there's advantages. I mean, to be honest, we were actually. Now, I'm not hoping that we get a Democrat. I'm being completely honest. I'm an independent, so I really, you know, one way or the other, I find good. I try to find good and bad, and I don't know if you've taken it. Have you taken that political compass test that's been going around online?
Yeah, we Eric and I both actually. He took it on the show. I had taken it already, okay. And then we went over our results together. We were generally right leaning libertarians is how we came out. So
yeah, I was one notch down into the liberal side, but right in the middle of the economics. So it was just one notch down and one notch over. So I was barely on the end, but my wife was one notch up, one notch over. So we're like yin and yang. It was like, how did you do that? You know, I know you answered those questions wrong. So, but you know, there's always some benefit you can see. I love people. And I think there is something to helping people. There is a need. How long the need, it really is individualized. I mean, some people need help for the rest of their existence. And some people can be encouraged to limit their need to a certain amount of time and maybe have some requirements. So I can see we're giving out. We're such a rich and prosperous nation. We're such a blessed people that there is the ability for us to extend our helping hand, let it be local church, government programs. There is the possibility for all that to happen. Now, to the nth degree, I don't believe that's true. But to a certain extent, sure, absolutely. I mean, why not? They're here with us. We can't eject them from the planet. We need to care for other humans. That's part of our destiny. And so, you know, how we do that, and you know, it's good. But you know, so you gotta kind of balance all that out. And being more of a libertarian, I wouldn't go as far as, you know, that, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of a states' rights person, I guess. I don't remember. I really think that the federal government has gotten way too big. I really think that these federal departments really need to just be desks where the federal money that goes to them has got one guy, and his job is to take that huge amount of money and divide it by 50 and send the checks out back to the state. That's really how I think that the federal government should work, other than the military. And, you know, I think that some of our representatives that spend way too much time in DC should be coming here to hear me bitch about certain issues, because right. They're over there, you know, making deals with each other, greasing each other's palm, when, you know, there's stuff at home that needs to be taken care of, and they could be getting that done. So I'm real big on states' rights and letting the states run, because, you know, if there's a group of people that want to believe in a certain way and have a certain idea of their utopia that I would view as a dystopia, then they can have that at their state. I just don't have to move there.
Right.
It's when they try to make the whole nation this one way, and that's just not how we're set up. It's just,
yeah. Well, and the other thing, I don't remember if I said it on the air, but I know I said it to Eric when we had, the Beyond Binary Thinking guys, the European fellas, a couple weeks ago. And one thing that I think they, particularly Europeans, miss when they criticize the United States, they compare, you know, say a Holland, they think of comparing Holland to the United States as a valid comparison, when it's like, no, the United States is just too huge to make a comparison like that. You could compare Holland to, say, I don't know, Maine.
Missouri.
Something like that, right. You know.
Delaware.
But to compare, to go, well, this one's a country and that one's a country. So it's not an apple to apple. You're taking an apple and going, why aren't you behaving like an orange?
Exactly. When you look at some of the states and they have, and you look at the list of economies in the world, and some states are listed as some of the biggest economies of the world, you cannot, you know, you can't do those even, you know, keeled, you know, comparisons. It just doesn't right. work that way. And I mean, as a whole, Europe, in their new federation, I guess you could say, they have a little bit more understanding of the, you know, they're feeling the heat. You got, you know, Italy, and they need tons of cash. And but, you know, but you still have the United States with the IMF coming in and bailing out. We yeah. give tons of money, billions and billions of dollars. And I believe, and that's when my religious stance really kicks in at that point, is because we're a blessed country. God has blessed us. And I don't really have a problem with giving, you know, having a organization like the International Monetary Fund giving out billions of dollars to countries and helping out. But then to a point, you know, I really appreciate what Donald Trump has done. President Trump has done with making those countries, you know, fulfill their requirements of, you know, get NATO and footing the bill for some of these things that they had promised and never have done. I mean, right. we're carrying the UN. I mean, it's on our shores. We give them diplomatic immunity. We let them, you know, run all these crazy things, and they point at us. You're bad, you know, bad nation. You know, it's like, you know, and it's all being propped and manipulated by some other country that, you know, mainly China, that wants us to do things differently. And so, you know, and we put up with a lot of BS in the world. And but, you know, I think we do it with grace. And I hope we continue to do it with grace. I don't know if I was voted emperor of 2024, which I've put myself out there for. I mean, obviously, I mean, why wouldn't I? Wouldn't you want me as emperor in 2024? I would.
Why
just
not? Yeah.
It would be my life, you know, to the end of my life. And then I would, by decree, make us go back to a, you know, democratic republic. And then my daughter could be president. I mean, no big deal.
Sure. Yeah.
I have you, Trevor, as my vice president. What? Right. I mean,
I appreciate that.
You could be my viceroy of the, you know, the U.S. emperor or whatever. It would be interesting. We live in weird times, don't we?
We do. Interesting. We do. And on that note, it's kind of up to you. Did you want to stick around for the news and all that fun stuff, or did you want to punch out?
I'd love to stick around for the news, unless it's more customary for me to not. Then,
well, the only issue we have is I have not worked out how to do any screen sharing on Skype or Zoom.
So, what if I go to the mantoolsmedia.com and look at the live feed?
That may work.
Let me see.
There might be a bit of a delay, but
all right, I'll let you go first.
We'll try.
Because that is a wonderful site, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Everyone needs to make sure that they visit mantoolsmedia.com and then sees the wonderful articles and different social media links and different advertisers that help this show. I would like to put that out there. I personally don't have any advertisers, but as for being the very teeny part of the Man Tools right now, I advise everyone who's listening and that would listen to make sure they visit those sites and take advantage of those great services that Mantools has as
absolutely.
Advertisers.
Thank you.
There you go. Hey, no problem. My pleasure. To the stream.
All right. Well, let's see. I'll go ahead and hit us onto the news scene, and we'll get into it then.
10-4. The flames.
All right, it worked. Let's see. Up first, we have this was pretty epic. I'm sure most folks have heard of Senator Rand Paul. What some may not know is that he is actually a medical doctor. And he's been in the news a little bit, if you pay attention, going kind of toe-to-toe with Fauci about some of these lockdowns. They've been having congressional hearings about how – about the COVID response, I guess. In this one, he kind of takes him to task about his – I guess Fauci said at some point that New York did everything right – even though they had like the worst death rate of any state. So, wow. Senator Paul is kind of like, really?
Wow.
So this is, it's kind of a long clip. It's like 7 minutes. We're going to bail out from this. Basically right after I kind of see, where the senator gets his point across.
Initially, government officials were honest enough to admit that the goal of mitigation efforts, aka lockdown, was to flatten the curve. But the area under the curve, the total deaths from the virus, would likely be the same. In other words, the lockdown was to mitigate the spike in viral deaths so our hospitals would not be overwhelmed, but the same amount of people would likely die with or without the lockdown. The media, and frankly government officials, seem to have forgotten this important caveat. Flattening the curve morphed into a belief that we could change the course of the pandemic with an economic lockdown. This is
So I'm going to pause it there because what he just said was it morphed from the idea of the lockdowns morphed from flattening the curve so that the hospitals wouldn't be overwhelmed.
Yes.
To somehow this idea that we can stop the virus altogether, which I was reading today, the governor of New Jersey just said that their goal is zero deaths from coronavirus before he thinks that they can just go back to normal.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, that was mainly the reason why we had any lockdowns and mask mandates in states was to flatten the curve, to not overwhelm the hospitals.
And
I want to know what does Eric have to say? Let's Eric, go ahead and tell us what you Oh, wait, you're not here.
Well, and I think something that's that gets missed when we talk about flattening the curve, that just means so it's still going up to the same height. It's just taking longer to get there.
It makes the availability of emergency services and hospitalizations more available for people that need it. I mean,
because it's not suddenly you hit that peak number. It's over time. It takes time to get there, but you still get to X number of people infected and X number of people dead, which is unfortunate and sad and all of that.
Terrible.
But do you ruin everyone else's life?
No.
And that seems to be what they're pushing for. So we'll continue with the senator here.
Unfortunate and has led to the protracted lockdown recession we are currently mired in. It's important that we examine the data, learn from the data, and try to avoid the man-made aspect of this calamity in the future. To those who argue that the lockdown flattened the curve in New York and New Jersey, the evidence argues otherwise. New York and New Jersey wound up with the sharpest spike or highest death rate in the world, at over 1,700 deaths per million. In contrast, Sweden had a relatively softer touch. Few mandates and mostly voluntary guidelines, Sweden's death rate ended up about a third that of New York and New Jersey. Some might argue that Sweden and New York and New Jersey are different populations, perhaps. But even the average death rate for the U.S. is now greater than Sweden. In fact, the U.S. death rate is quite comparable to less developed parts of the world where social distancing is virtually impossible, such as Brazil, Bolivia, and Ecuador. Which brings us to an important question. Is man really capable of altering the course of an infectious disease through crowd control? The statistics argue a resounding no. The evidence argues that mitigation efforts have failed to flatten the curve, that most countries, regardless of public health policy, suffered a significant spike in deaths and then a gradual decline. Now, some will argue, what about Hong Kong, Taiwan, South Korea, Japan, each which have had extraordinarily low death rates? Hong Kong, Taiwan, and South Korea certainly enforced stricter quarantine and contact tracing, rules than the U.S., but Japan's rules were largely voluntary since their prime minister lacks the legal powers to enforce a lockdown. One explanation for the low death rate in much of Asia is that the population may have a higher degree of exposure to coronavirus colds, and therefore have more pre-existing cross-reactive immunity. If scientists were interested, there is a fascinating field of inquiry looking at susceptibility to COVID-19 and assessment of whether people not have pre-existing immunity to similar coronaviruses. In fact, pre-existing cross-reactive immunity to coronavirus may explain why we have so many people that have very little symptoms or asymptomatic. While there are still many things we need to learn about this pandemic, it's important that we, the people, not simply acquiesce to authoritarian mandates on our behavior without first making the nanny state prove their hypothesis. As for now, what we do know is that New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and Rhode Island still allow the highest death rates in the world. We also know that Sweden, who enforced few mandates, ended up with a death rate one-third of New York and New Jersey.
All right. I'm going to stop it there. So his point basically is that we traded our freedom for a promise that couldn't be kept of... You know,
yes. and brother doctor, I might add, doctor, yeah. Ron Paul. Yeah, I mean, give me a break. I mean, I'm glad we have smart guys like that, that actually have some kind of perspective, that are in those hallowed halls, that they can actually bring some sense to this whole thing and like shake them by the shoulders. What are you doing? You know, and he's absolutely right. I mean, the herd immunities, I mean, just to have the people, there's more people in Asia that probably had the colds. That's, you know, I mean, there's, you know, I was taught, and I don't know, Trevor, maybe I'm completely out of my mind, but I understood it as you, when you get sick, your body is designed, and I know that's a whole another argument in itself, designed to, if you get sick, you get immunities, white blood cells, they fight this infection, it goes into a library of things that you are now immune to, and now you go on, and the effects of that disease or sickness gets less and less. Am I wrong?
I believe you are correct. I'm pretty sure that is how it works.
Why are we avoiding each other then? I mean, I heard it, and I couldn't cite the exact article, and that's my bad. But I mean, I heard that the people, a lot of the people that died, and when the true numbers came out, that 6%, the numbers were the people that were dying of not just purely coronavirus, but the people that were dying, the 100, 200,000, a lot of those people would have died anyway from a regular complications from, you know, the flu or something else that they got from the 7-year-old carrier that goes to school and brings everything home. You know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah. And that's that's even beside people like, I don't know if you remember Herman Cain. He recently died, was counted as a COVID death, even though he was in stage 4 cancer, and everybody said, well, he caught, and it was pretty clear, it seemed that he did catch the coronavirus by attending a Trump rally without a mask.
Oh, geez.
But the flip, yeah, so for a minute, it was Trump killed Herman Cain. It's like, the guy was like in his 80s, had cancer, yes. He knew that he was on his way out and just lived his life. It's no one's fault. He was just making choices, and he would have died very sooner rather than later anyways.
Yep,
I mean,
absolutely.
That's the reality that he was living
one,
with.
The only one that I know of that didn't die of coronavirus to this date is Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She's the only one they haven't said, and she died because of COVID. No, she died because she's old.
Yeah.
She was old. It's a shame. Nobody, you know, it's a shame we die, but you know, life is 100% fatal. Trevor,
that's
I hate
it.
To break it to you. Tell that to your cutout of Eric. He's just looking at us like he's just staring like he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. No one, I forget what band it is, but, it might have even been someone like Jim Morrison, but there was a great quote where they said, no one gets out of life alive.
Yes, absolutely. None of us will. None of us are going to. It's all going to be fatal. And what is it going to be? The coronavirus or causes of the coronavirus? It might be the flu. You could get a cut on your foot and an infection, get sepsis and die. I mean, you could get like a bug. I'm out here in the backyard. Oh, man, a stinking bug bit me. 5 weeks from now, I'm dead. You know, I mean, it happens. We all die. And if we were going to try to bubble ourselves like the boy in the bubble and try to keep our lives going and wear masks and don't touch me and come away, be far, get, you know, it's not going to work. We're going to wind up dying of Murphy's Law, which is an interesting thing. You're going to die from something, friend.
Yeah.
And it, you never know. And it will be that one thing you weren't thinking about.
Yeah, it sure will. Let's see. Up next, we have two stories about the media being less than honest.
No. So,
yeah. So first, we have, let's see. Yeah, I guess this is it. So first we have, this comes from The Hill. They did this tweet that said, just in, Trump supporters gathered without masks in North Carolina. This was like a couple weeks ago, I guess. Despite a request from the local GOP official. Well, if you can see that picture, everyone behind the president is wearing a mask.
Yes, yes.
So they very quickly deleted that tweet and retweeted the same text with this picture where it's a big close up and you can't see anybody behind him.
Ah, very good. Tricky, tricky. Yeah. I just got done watching my wife. I came home and was preparing for the show, setting him. So, yeah, that's a wonderful picture of the president with that majestic background of, golden skies. And we're watching this Trump rally in Florida. And she's listening to it. And I might add, my wife isn't a huge Trump fan, but she does like that he doesn't hold back. And she says that he says some stupid crap and he has done some pretty crappy stuff in his lifetime. And she's not, she's not like a huge fan. We don't own a TV, by the way, and so we don't watch, so we weren't watching The Apprentice or anything like that. So
yeah.
She's like, this guy on a whole is seedy and he's not a good man, but he's doing a good job. But we're so nonetheless, we're listening to this and I'm looking and now in the back, because of this, probably now they have these huge like face coverings that say MAGA.
Yeah.
it's like that's what they want to put on their Twitter feed is more MAGA hats and stuff.
Yeah. And then let's see, the New York Times. Is this the right one? Nope. I skipped it. Hang on. I got to get the
word.
I promise I have it. Nope, that ain't it. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Just for those that are tuning in, we're looking at the considerable effort put in by the media to be completely honest and straightforward and accurate in everything they report.
So this is I will give the caveat. These are both from the first one is from 2018. The second one is from 2019. But the same thing is happening and has happened. So obviously California is on fire. The whole state, basically.
Right.
The president recently, he said this the last time this happened, as you can see from the headline here, part of the reason that we're seeing such nasty fires is that California has a very bad forestry management system.
Yes.
Where they don't like to cut down trees.
Nope.
Well, when you don't do that, you end up with bad forest fires. The article on the left from New York or from the New York Times in January of 2018 is about a group of scientists warning in the Journal of Bioscientists that the dead trees in California could produce wildfires on a scale and of an intensity that California has never seen.
Wow. And there they are.
Then,
man, they must be, they're like prophets.
Yeah. Well, then in November of, again, this is 2 years ago, but it still applies to what's happening now. Then in November of that year, they're bashing Trump because he took to Twitter and blamed the infernos on the management of the forest, under the state.
Wow. Wow. Yes.
And that's
yes,
happened this funny. Time too. Now their thing is, well, it's obviously climate change and global warming and not the
Absolutely.
Fact that California doesn't want to cut down trees.
You know, we should all be eating those burgers like Bill Gates says we should be eating, those hamburgers that don't from cows that don't fart, or the fartless burger, whatever it is, you know, those, you know, I mean, because, you know, that and letting trees completely dry up and be tender in the middle of your forest with crappy electricity. Okay. Also, their infrastructure in California is the worst. It's yeah. like sparking when, you know, it's sparking. And then you've got these self-seeking, you know, bridezilla moms wanting to shoot off fireworks to express the gender of their child, the selfishly. I mean, all that together, there's nothing wrong with any of that. I mean, come yeah. on. I mean, what? Who cares? Let's burn the whole place down. And then you got people with matches going through people's yards lighting fire. I don't know, man. That's
another. You know, there's a map where you can see all the arson arrests that have happened recently, and they're still uh-huh. trying to say, well, there's no evidence that any of this is arson. It's like there's arrests all over the place. Like people are getting caught red-handed.
It's not a bunch of fat kids wearing corduroy. I'll tell you that much right now. And I that's one of my phobias in life. As a boy, my mom bought me a brown pair of thick corduroy pants, and being a very large person, it just wasn't good. There was a lot of heat and friction.
Yeah.
And those yep. fires are not caused from that. Oh, geez.
Well, let's see. Those were kind of, I guess, politics adjacent stories.
Sure.
Let's get into actual politics for this week. We'll hit that and get out just a couple of things that I found interesting in that world this week. So, some interesting things with the Biden camp this week. There have been a number of speeches where he's out of breath and coughing. And then his campaign has been doing, they call it a LID, which yes. I guess means no more public appearances for that day. And it's been happening at like yep. 10 a.m. a couple of times recently, where they're just like, no more public appearances for the day. And they're, you know, the day has barely started, really.
Right.
So the concern earlier has been about his mental health when it comes to the debates. And right. now I think what they're going to do, this is my suspicion, he's going to do some more of these speeches where he coughs, and then they're going to go,
it's the coronavirus.
Oh, he's got coronavirus. He's
got coronavirus.
He can't do the debate. And then,
oh man!
And then the question is how they'll handle that. Will Kamala geez. Debate Trump?
Really?
That's not really how it's supposed to work. She's the VP
That's
candidate.
That's not copacetic. Yeah. Well, I'm sure he'd take it.
I'm sure he would. He would debate anybody. But on the face yeah. of it, that kind of admits that they're not planning on having him be president, at least not for very long.
Oh, know? Absolutely.
So
I mean, they're going to do the flip-flop.
This is a speech where I think it's only like the speech was only 15 minutes, and here's a clip where it's only 2 minutes long, and it's not the speech. It's every time that he coughed, which was 15 times, so it averaged out to like once a minute that he was coughing, which wow. is, you know, a little concerning. But anyways, here.
Well, I mean,
out.
We had Hillary. Hillary took a dive, but go
oh,
ahead.
Oh yeah, yeah. yeah. She was not in great health either.
What's with the health of the Democrats, man? Whoa.
Leader of this outfit for a year. It's an appropriate place to make the speech I'm about to make. Attended Mass earlier today and prayed for Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her family. We know how hard that is to watch a piece of your soul absorb the cruelty and the pain of the dreadful disease. I spoke to her daughter and her granddaughter last night. By tradition, a person who dies during the Jewish New Year is considered... That was Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a righteous... And it was my great honor when I was in the Senate and chairman of the Judiciary Committee to preside over her confirmation hearings and strongly support her accession to the Supreme Court bench. Justice Ginsburg achieved a standing few justices have or ever will. She became a presence in the lives of so many Americans.
That's,
you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, you nailed that one on the head. He's either putting on a show. Maybe he's convinced that whole lid thing is getting out of hand. I mean, he can't even do 2 days on the road.
No,
I mean, and you got Trump flying all over the country. You know,
he's doing two or three rallies a day.
Oh my good Lord! And then this guy, like, yo, I need a nap. Oh God, you know, it's like, come on, man, you want to be president? Ooh, you can't even play that much golf.
Yeah,
what's wrong with you?
Well, and then this clip is I don't know. It when it first came out, people were saying that it sounds like he's in a he's doing an interview, and the accusation is that he's being fed answers because he threw a teleprompter because they ask him a question and he gives an answer, and then it sounds like he says, "I lost that line." Someone else has come out, or a couple places have come out and said that no, it was like a Zoom conference audience and he was taking questions from them, and he said, "Oh, I lost that lady." I don't know. It sure sounds like lying to me, but we'll take a look, and everyone else can be the judge.
That's the only poll the show has.
Sure.
See the Mammoth poll today, same poll. How come you don't quote the good ones?
Well, I'm just quoting the one that we have that we actually think is a very solid
poll. No, look.
But every poll, obviously, is a snapshot of a time and a place. But having said that...
I also don't know what happened there.
And, like then, and only people who will be deported are people who committed a felony while here. That's number one. I lost that line.
Yeah, well, but that's good because we could talk to you.
That was it.
Sounds like somebody tricked.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, man. He can't do anything without being fed something. Because if he doesn't, then 200 million people die of something. You know, it's like 200 million people that die of of coronavirus, and then another 100 million die of this and that before he's done talking. It's like, there's only 324 million people in our country. I'm glad me and you, Trevor, are the only ones left. I mean, we should really be safe.
That's it, man.
Oh, man, what a joke. Oh, joke. You know, another thing, you were talking a little bit about the media not being fair. And I think it's just in general, it's that whole side just conflating things. This whole, I don't know if you have anything about Breonna Taylor, but that whole thing has gotten way out of control.
Yeah.
And all the facts that we had in the very beginning and the reasoning behind the violent protests and the burnings and all this. And now we come to, you know, we got a really smart guy, DA, who's looking into it. And he, you know, he's charging one of the police for being a complete schmo with his gun, firing it off. And I mean, all of the facts that we learned, she was asleep, you know, there was a no-knock warrant, da 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 da, this and that, you know, that, you know, she wasn't even supposed to be them, and she was an EMT, and all that stuff is not even true.
No,
it's not even true.
No.
Absolutely not true.
Yeah, you start looking at the facts of the case, like she hadn't been an EMT since 2017.
She got fired because she had to step down because she had the same boyfriend. They found a car that she had rented with a dead body in it.
Yes. Yep. It appeared that she was being, kind of, to put it politely, passed around by some drug dealers.
Yikes.
Somehow she was involved in the drug dealing and it involved the house, which is the address that was listed on that warrant. So yes. It's like, I don't get it.
And eyewitnesses said they did knock. They actually did knock. They had the permission to do the no knock, but they actually did knock prior to, and they went in. And what do you know? The first guy who goes in there, there's a man and a female behind him in the hallway with a stance, fires a weapon. He fired first, shoots the officer in the leg, in the thigh, and then he hides behind the girl, which is this poor young girl. You know, the only thing I can think of is she is a victim, and she's a victim of her own bad choices and her boyfriend choices.
Yeah.
You know, she's a victim of her boyfriend, really, and like you were saying, there's proof that, you know, he was on the phone recently, another phone conversations in jail talking about she was in charge of the money. So where is this quote unquote narrative coming from? Why are these stories being promoted in this way? I mean, you even have George Floyd, and he had three times the fentanyl, three times the lethal dose of fentanyl in his system. The coroner actually puts on his death certificate, he died from overdose of fentanyl.
Yep.
I mean, these are, and it's just, you know, then you got the origination of the Black Lives Movement with that one kid who would say they would reach in to get the gun away from the cop, but he was actually running at the cop with a gun. You know, it's like the over and over we see the media just grabbing on and trying to indoctrinate those people that are staring at the boob tube, willing with their brains open, willing to get it shoved in. And I mean, there is some there's some science behind that. You know, as soon as people start looking at TV, the alpha waves kick on and bam, they're just programmable. And well, so they know that.
It's interesting. I think the public perception, I don't even know quite if it's the public perception, but at one time, newsmen had their biases, but they did not necessarily have agendas, which has changed. I mean, you go back to... like Walter Cronkite, he was a left-leaning guy, but that didn't get in the way of him presenting the news accurately to people. He didn't put that first. You know what I mean?
There was really no proof that he didn't not do it, because you got Jennings and you got this other guy, this Brian, and they get caught with their hand in the cookie jar manipulating news. Well, and now we got people that are walking around with cell phones that are taping these guys, and oh, look how deep the water is, and it's gonna kill everyone, and it's really not that bad.
Well, what I'm getting at though is back then, they at least had the perception of credibility to trade on. They
makes sense.
You would trust them because, at least as far as you knew, they had never lied to you before, but now. Possibly just because they're getting caught. Maybe people like Walter Cronkite really were, just as dishonest as the news media today. It just wasn't, like you said, not everyone had a camera to be able to film what was happening, like we do now. And what I find very interesting and kind of scary is that even when they're caught, they don't backtrack and say, well, I was wrong, or, you know, they just continue to promote the narrative, even when there's proof that the narrative is bullshit. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. They don't have any, they're not forced to do it. The only people that are really forced to retract a story on the nth page of the printed paper, or the, you know, this a little blurb in the back or with the little star next to it, is print news.
Yeah.
And they're the only ones that are really required to get back there and state it correctly. Yeah. I mean, we have with this new judge that, you know, obviously he's going to put forward, and I don't know her name, but it's a female judge. And, you know, they're saying that she's some crazy, crazy lunatic Christian Catholic group that has to do with that show that, you know, with those girls and you know, I don't know, they're just like maids and they're just like
Handmaid's Tale or whatever.
Yeah, and that she's like, she's the their group that she belongs to is the reason why they have that show. You know, they're trying to get that out there. If they took over, then that would be the country. And it's just like, you know, and they had to retract that because it's absolutely not true. And they still are kind of not retracting it. You know,
well,
so
the, uh, The other crazy thing is I'm sure you've seen some of these videos of people, you know, freaking out because Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, and now there's, you know, Trump has an opportunity to promote to appoint a justice. They act like, let's say he appoints somebody, and let's say they get confirmed, which is probably going to happen. I mean, there's no reason that it shouldn't.
Sure.
The Republicans control the Senate.
Days, yeah.
You know, they act like once that happens, Roe versus Wade is just going to be overturned that day.
No.
You know what I mean? That seems to be what they think is going to happen. And it's like,
I would love to see that happen because of my belief. I'd love to see that whole thing get deleted. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the issue is it's going to become a states' rights issue. If the state next to my state wants to allow their citizenry to do such a dastardly, unethical murder and let people do that, that's that population's right to do that. I will not move there. I will have nothing to do with that state. But that's where it boils down to. We have to put that in our heads that we are 50 individual states come together in a union. And this whole thing with this whole fantasy that they're going to lose that is absolutely just completely nonsense, because that's not how it works.
No.
I mean, even the process has got to go through the court, through local court.
A case would have to get up to that level.
Absolutely.
That where by deciding that case, they would somehow overturn it. And I don't even know.
And then it would just open it up to being interpreted into a state's rights issue.
Right.
That's what's going to boil down to. And I mean, God help the states that go in that direction. I mean, and I'm just being honest, and that's my own personal view. I don't know how your view is on that, but God help those states, because that is not seen. A million babies a year being killed is completely is out of my mind. I cannot even believe that 52 million babies since Roe versus Wade dying. I mean, could just the basic economics of that is just flabbergasting. I mean, no wonder Social Security is in such mayhem. These people could be paying into the system. I mean, and that's just a small just benefit. Who knows how many Einsteins we have offed because they just, I didn't want to have a baby. There are some, and I don't want to get into them. And that's the hard part of the whole reality, is there's some really interesting reasons for that thought process and that procedure. But I mean, either way, I think it would be better for the government to put a bunch of money into the, you know, yes, you had this child, you conceived a child under duress and it was a terrible thing, but we're going to take care of you. But we want the child. You know, the child has to live. And then I think just today, Trump is going to sign an executive order saying, you know, the live birth. And as soon as they're birthed out of the canal live, the medical is obligated to treat them as an individual. They have to give them medical attention. I mean, and the problem with that is that we're going to have a lot of human beings that are going to be disabled because of the process. It's a messy, disgusting process that really needs to be rethought and eliminated in every case possible. But that is not what's going to happen because of this one judge.
Let's see.
That's what we're talking about.
Keys said in the chat, let's be honest, if it's turned into a state's rights that they'll ban all abortion, I don't see that happening. I see states like...
No, there's going to be states that are going to let it happen.
A lot of very liberal states would never...
Oregon, Washington.
...think about doing that, yeah. I don't think that's correct. So, and more to the point that we were on is it's definitely not going to be an instantaneous... Oh my gosh, the court is stacked conservative, so it's, you know, snap a finger, flip a switch, this is the new law. Like the people that are freaking out seem to behave like it's going to be.
A lot of these justices have surprised us.
That's true too. Yeah.
They have surprised us, and they haven't they haven't done exactly what we thought they were going to be doing on both sides of the aisle, if you will.
And then Keyes says, but conservative states will end up banning. Yes. And that's what we said. Conservative states probably would ban all abortions. And it would become, if you want to be able to do that, you move to a state that allows it. And if you don't, then, live where it's banned. But yeah, you're right, Keyes. Yeah. Conservative states would end up banning all abortions. That was
the truth.
Yeah. Anyways, let's move on to how awesome EXO AutoWorks is.
Hey.
As always, Man Tools is brought to you by our friends at EXO AutoWorks, Colorado Springs, home of the $30 synthetic blend oil change. EXO knows that finding the problem is the first step to getting your car right. And I lost my scene. There it is. All right. which is why EXO AutoWorks provides diagnostics at no charge in most cases. They also do fleet services, fluid services, repair services, and much more. And as you can see from their website there, they work on all makes and models, including high mileage cars, and they offer a 24,000 mile, 2-year nationwide warranty. So call EXO at 719-375-3232 or go on the web to exoautoworks.com to book your appointment right away. Thanks, EXO. Up next, we have a new segment. Every once in a while in the news, we cover what we call cool stuff. I decided today that cool stuff should be separate from the news because it's usually not quite, doesn't quite fit there. So we've got a new segment that's just called Cool Stuff. Nice. So we'll hit that.
Other way, I might say EXO, it's nothing like finding a great mechanic. Everyone should find a great mechanic, and because they're like doctors these days. I mean,
oh yeah,
you waste a ton of money on cars, and having a great mechanic is where it's at. So find them. I'm sure they're one.
Absolutely. All right. So this week in cool stuff. No, we're gonna skip this one. Eric submitted this. I want to watch this with him. So we're gonna skip this one and go to the next cool stuff. This is some gun safety cool stuff.
Nice.
Especially when you're messing with revolvers. So let's check this out.
Whoa.
That's what can happen to your finger if it's up on the cylinder.
Hey guys, Jerry Metrolik here. We're gonna talk about the proper way to handle a revolver when you fire it and the consequences of not doing that. So
here
we go.
Lord.
What you want to remember. All revolvers, doesn't matter whose manufacturer, there's a cylinder gap. That means the difference between the fit of the cylinder to the end of the barrel. So when you close the cylinder, of course, it has to have enough clearance to when it rotates that it doesn't drag on the barrel. Cylinder gap. What you want to realize is when you discharge a revolver, if the 38 special, you got about 15,000 PSI of pressure coming out that little crack between the cylinder and the barrel. Cylinder gap, guys. Always remember, cylinder gap. 357 Magnum, you're looking at 40,000. 460, 60,000. So you want to keep anything that you don't want to damage from being in front of the cylinder.
Ooh.
The way I hold a revolver with a chute, usually,
cylinder gap.
If it's a full-size gun like this, I'll go ahead and wrap my thumbs, and they're out of the way. The only thing, nothing's in front of the cylinder. Very important to me. So what I have here today is a simulated finger. We're going to take our simulated finger with different calibers and lay them next to the cylinder gap and fire a shot to see what happens. So we're going to start with a 22 long rifle. I've got some Fiocchi high speed 36 grain hollow points. And we'll put one in the gun here. Close it up and we're going to lay our simulated finger right next to the cylinder gap, and we're going to touch it off.
Very uncomfortable.
You ready for it?
Ooh.
Here we go.
Yikes.
Ooh. Even with a 22, your finger would not be happy.
No.
As you can see,
no,
let me go ahead
good.
And clear.
Not good.
Show clear. You have to remember, this right. doesn't have a...
This is like a six-minute video, so I think we got the highlight right at the front. I think that was the biggest one.
Listen to the old guy. Listen to the old guy.
Yes.
Always listen to old guys. Take in what they're saying, process it, and really be honest about that important information old guys give you. I'm learning that as I've turned into one.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of listening to the old guys, let's cover this week in his story, and nice. Then we'll finish up the show. Nope. Clicked it too fast. There we go. All right, this week in his story, we're going back a day because Eric wanted to cover this, and then he isn't here. So anyways, September 23rd, 1875, Billy the Kid was arrested for the first time, accused of stealing a basket of laundry in the town of Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico Territory. And I didn't realize that he was not that good-looking of a man. compared to his portrayal, you know, Emilio Estevez is a lot better looking in that movie.
Sharp looking cat. Yeah, right.
But I guess that's Hollywood for you.
Yes, it is.
Let's see. September 24th, 1789, fitting story for today. Congress passed the Judiciary Act, which established, a strong federal court system and, kind of solidified that power through the Supreme Court. And it also specified that the court would have a chief justice and five associate justices. So the very first iteration of the Supreme Court only had six judges, which I found interesting.
The Constitution doesn't mandate how many judges should be on the Supreme Court, though.
So. It does not.
That's where this whole packing the court thing might be. Craziness.
Well, and that's what's scary, because as this proves, all it takes is an act of Congress passed and then signed by the president, and it could result in a big change like that. So,
And then with them having jobs for life, I don't mean to cut you off, but letting these people have jobs for life and then not limiting their term is a huge problem if you start having a clique now with the, you know, the legislative jurists that are out there. This clique can cause much havoc.
Yeah, they sure can. Let's see, September 25th, 1981. Also, you know, some other Supreme Court history, or in this case, herstory, I guess. Sandra Day O'Connor, the first female Supreme Court justice, is sworn in. I saw a lot of people very mistakenly referring to Ruth Bader Ginsburg as the first female Supreme Court justice. She was not.
I did that myself. Mistakenly. Well,
and what I seem to find is that because the people that are upset about her passing away are liberal, a lot of them discount Sandra O'Connor because she was conservative. She was appointed by Ronald Reagan and confirmed in the 80s. So they almost act like she doesn't count as a woman justice, but I'd have to say it doesn't matter what her ideology was. She was clearly a woman.
Yeah. Well, you know, biologically she was.
Yeah.
And, you know, and because she was a conservative judge, she didn't matter. That's
right.
Disgusting.
Yep.
Disgusting. Ugh.
Let's see. September 26th, 1820. Legendary frontiersman Daniel Boone died quietly at his home in Defiance, Missouri. I'm sorry, at the home of his son in Defiance, Missouri, at the age of 85, which is that's a ripe old age for back then, man.
For sure.
Let's see, September 28th, 2008, some recent history. SpaceX launched the first private spacecraft, the Falcon 1. And I think they're up to like the 10? 9 or 10. So,
yeah, I'm not versed, but I know they have a lot of satellites out there that are
trying to
do that broadband.
Yeah, that like space-based internet for everybody. That's pretty wild.
Yes. Yeah, that's going to be great. We're all going to have cancer. I have cancer, but I sure got a really good signal on my phone. Oh, jeez.
And then let's see. Finally, for this week, September 29th, 1850, Mormon leader Brigham Young is named the first governor of the Utah Territory.
Really?
In yeah, clearly no separation of church and state there.
I was just thinking that right now. No separation. Wow.
But I guess that was the idea behind States the Utah rights. Territory, though, right?
States' rights.
That was the idea. The Mormons wanted a promised land.
Their own area. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Their own Jerusalem. Absolutely. So, and that's an interesting deal.
But that brings us to the end of our show, basically. Of course, I want to thank you, Rich, for hanging out with us the whole time. That was killer.
I appreciate it.
And we want to
I'm
thank
glad
our
to be here.
Yes, absolutely. We want to thank our sponsors, EXO Autoworks, Enharmonic Studios, and Madrid Maintenance. And of course, thank you to the audience for watching. Be sure to check us out on the web, like you said earlier, at mantoolsmedia.com. And we are at mantoolsmedia on all social media. Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/mantoolsmedia. I just put up a very funny video about our secret origin story that only members of our Patreon can see.
Oh, really?
And patronage starts at just $2 a month.
That's a great screaming deal.
Yeah, you can get stuff like that. We also, at least once a month, one of our episodes includes a extended live stream that goes over to the Patreon. So, and again, the only way to get that stuff is to become a member. A lot of that content that you find on the Patreon, though, we do offer for sale a la carte at gumroad.com/mantoolsmedia. So if you don't want to make the commitment to the Patreon, you can just purchase a video. And you can always go to mantoolsmedia.redbubble.com. for great merch, including our virtue signaling and Corona Apocalypse masks. And yeah, that does it for our show.
It also looks like everyone should go out and buy themselves Make Men Manly Again essential t-shirts with the Man Tools logo right on the front for their wives. I see that in the merch.
Yeah,
store.
Sure.
And the Corona Apocalypse Classics tee before they're out, before you don't print them anymore, before it's 2021 or after the election and nobody cares. Yours today. They're very well priced, by the way. Wonderful stuff on the merch store.
Thank you so much, Rich, for hanging out with us. It's been
my
great
pleasure.
Kind of almost like a guest co-host this evening, so I really appreciate that way it wasn't just me talking to myself.
I've been there. It's not fun. No, I appreciate it, Trevor. I appreciate you guys, and I will probably be putting my $2 in to get that extra content and
awesome.
To hear what you guys have to say.
We appreciate that.
Thank you for having us.
And of course, everybody, be sure to check out the podcast at, I had a URL up here, dreadnought928.com, right?
Absolutely. www.dreadnought928. You can see all our media, social media, and our YouTube channels, which we're trying to figure that one out. But all of our media there on Podbeam. We do a live show on Wednesdays, Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays at 9:30 Arizona time, which is an odd time because we don't go with the daylight savings. So
Yeah. Check
us out. Get the Podbeam app. You can find us. You can interact with us, and you can chat with us. And if you want to just catch the show, we also publish it on Facebook. Our Facebook handle is Dreadnought928 Podcast. Twitter us. Dreadnought928. We also do prayer requests. So if anybody has something they want a few more prayer warriors to help them out, they're going through a time, or maybe they've lost in a family member or something, and they want a little bit of spiritual help, we would love to help you with that and put your prayer up before God and help you support in that. So thank you, Trevor, again for letting me come on.
Awesome. Thanks, man. All right. That does it. Good night, everybody. Thanks for hanging again. All right, man, you too. Okay. Sure.